Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. We're fast approaching the 2016 Academy Awards. And so on today's show, film critic Karen Krizanovich joins me in the studio to discuss who might be scooping up the top prizes this year. Plus, for a bit of Oscar relief, we'll discuss the fascinating life of art collector extraordinaire Piggy Guggenheim in a new documentary by Lisa Immordino-Vreeland, and we'll discuss Richard Gere's role as a wealthy but troubled philanthropist in psychodrama The Benefactor. That's all to come on today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review. This Sunday, all eyes will be on Hollywood as the brightest stars walk the infamous red carpet and gather in the Dolby Theatre for the 88th Academy Awards ceremony. Heading up the award nominations is The Revenant with 12 nominations, closely followed by Mad Max Fury Road and The Martian, which have received 10 and 7 nominations respectively. In anticipation, we're going to start today's show off with some Oscar predictions. Now, Karen, we have to begin with The Revenant. Everyone thinks it's a shoo-in for Leonardo DiCaprio. What are your predictions?
Well, I think Leo will actually win the Best Actor Oscar. And I think that he...
Because it's overdue or because it's such a great performance?
It's a very overplayed performance, in my estimation. But then again, this is a man who is in desperate straits, who is in repeated desperate straits. And if he looked calm and together, then it wouldn't really quite work. We have to remember that Leo was a vegetarian, is a vegetarian. He did have to eat raw liver, although he just put it in his mouth and spat it out. It's a well-released film. It's a beautiful film. It's well-timed. And I think also people, it's become a little bit of a joke with all of the Leonardo DiCaprio memes around about all of the times that he's been nominated and lost.
Yeah. But staying with The Revenant, Emmanuel Lubezki is up for Best Cinematography.
Yes.
And it certainly is a good-looking film. Now, if he wins, this is going to be his third consecutive Oscar as he scooped the prize for Gravity and Birdman last year. Do you think he might do it?
Yes. Chivo, that's his nickname, is probably the best cinematographer working today. Now, with The Revenant, I think, because I've seen The Revenant several times, it's sensational, but he is channeling the film right through the lens. So you get a lot of splash on the lens. You get blood and water and mist and everything else. So it does, in a way, distance you from the action. You're aware there's a camera there. And that's his style. But he's an amazing cinematographer. And his Instagram account's quite good, too.
Best supporting actor and actress, very strong this year.
Yes, actually. I think it's time for Alicia Vikander. She's had a very, very strong career, seemingly coming from nowhere. Of course, we saw her, I think it was in The Royal Affair is when I first noticed her. And interestingly, for Sylvester Stallone in Creed. Now, it's a wonderful performance. It's downplayed, but also it plays across generations. We see Rocky there and our heart goes out to him. And it's a fun, nicely played role. Although we do think that that film actually needed more nominations that it got.
Of course, this year marred by controversy over race, as in the year gone by before that. Mm-hmm. For 2017, the Academy is saying they're going to totally restructure the voting. In what way, and do you think it will make a difference?
Well, they're trying to get a younger and more diverse group of voters, and also, by doing that, if you're no longer active in the film industry for a certain length of time, you will lose your, I think you become an honorary member, but you lose your vote, which I think is important, because you have to remember, a lot of people see these things on screeners and don't see all of them or see part of them or just watch because they know Bill was in it, you know. I think that will help, and I think it needs to be done.
Well, of course, if all the voters are white men over 60, it's going to affect what films they like, what performances they like, and who their buddies are. So
exactly.
I think that has to be a good move. And before we move on to today's pick of films, your prediction for Best Film?
I think it will be The Revenant, although the Big Short is coming up very quickly.
Okay, well, we are going to move on now, and stepping away from Oscar fever, we're going to talk about a new documentary chronicling the fascinating life of one of the most influential art collectors of the 20th century, Peggy Guggenheim, Art Addict. The documentary revolves around exclusive recordings of the last interview with the heiress. The tapes were, in fact, presumed to be lost. And the film lifts the lid on a woman who was so obsessed by art that she built up one of the most pivotal art collections in the last century. Karen, where to start with this extraordinary character, from her influence in the art world to her promiscuous life behind closed doors, a father who died on the Titanic. Tell us about the extraordinary character of Peggy Guggenheim and why she's such a rich subject for a documentary.
Well, she's from, Peggy Guggenheim is from an amazing background. She's a rather homely daughter of from a wealthy, legendary family, in fact. It had some very interesting personal dynamics. I mean, one aunt used to just sing everything she said. And I think her mother wore three, or said everything three times and wore three watches, three coats. Her father died on the Titanic, slinking back with his mistress from a failed business outing. And she was never a beautiful socialite, but she, and I get the impression that she was a bit, I don't want to say hammered a bit by people, because she wasn't this gorgeous, elegant creature. But she made her way in the world uniquely by taking what we think is a lot of money, $450,000, and really creating a way for herself. She had she wrote her own memoir, which was no holds barred. We hear about her many, many abortions, her many lovers, how she managed to get art, and also going into war zones and bringing art out. And the Lisa Imordino Vreeland keeps saying over and over again, she lived on her own terms.
Well, let's have a listen to a clip of the documentary, Peggy Guggenheim, Art Addict.
What do these pictures mean to you, yourself?
Oh, they've become more or less the most important part of my life. I can't imagine now living without them.
She'd carved out a niche for herself, and she filled it, and she made it as a collector, and as a kind of collector that never quite existed before.
She wanted this art as a mirror for her own strangeness.
I think sex and art went absolutely hand in hand in her brain.
She was talked about as such a slut for doing the same thing that all the men around her were doing.
Peggy is a sort of model for the liberated woman.
A little audio clip from the documentary, the feature film documentary, Peggy Guggenheim, Art Addict. For a medium like film, which relies so much on seeing someone being interviewed, seeing someone talk, it is extraordinarily powerful just to have the audio recordings and have the story told that way, isn't it?
Well, there's such redolent snippets of dialogue, because she doesn't rabbit on. You know, she speaks from that, from how we assume her society spoke when she was growing up. Well, you would say it, and then you'd be done with it, and you'd go on. And so you have to listen to the intonation of what she says, and the meaning comes out through that. She doesn't pity herself. She just states facts, shocking though they may be to us, and goes on.
Now, the filmmaker Lisa Imordino Vreeland directed the brilliant documentary on the life of one of fashion's most colorful and iconic characters, Diana Vreeland. She has excellent credentials in this kind of filmic portraiture. Tell us a little bit about how she puts the spotlight on someone's personality and excavates who they are, what we know about them and what we don't.
Well, she was saying when she did the Vreeland documentary, it's very different because obviously she's related. But this one, she befriended the biographer and basically was going through all these files and plastic bins and wading through press releases and all sorts of press cuttings. But also her biographer, the biographer of Peggy the Wayward Guggenheim by Jacqueline Bograd Weld, said that she thought she had tapes down there, but she wasn't quite sure. Now, a lot of these were with not only with Peggy Guggenheim herself, but a lot of the information was from people that had been dead for decades. And so picking and choosing and illuminating, and also not being completely, it's not a hagiography. Mm-hmm. We don't see Peggy Guggenheim as this wonderful creature. She's very flawed.
You've just been to Venice. One of the spots on your itinerary was the Peggy Guggenheim Museum. Having just been there, what do you think this film illuminates, surprises, tells you about the character?
Oh, I kept wanting to go to the Guggenheim Museum every time I was in Venice, that I go every year. And I didn't go until I saw this documentary. And I wanted to see the interior. You almost feel as if you are walking through Peggy Guggenheim's intimate life. You see the graves of her dogs. You see where she's buried. You see the room of the art of her friend. There's so much there.
And as well as being, you know, a very kind of eccentric, sort of colorful, determined character, quite frugal in many ways. But in terms of her art legacy, she really did an incredible accomplishment of saving art just before World War II, art that would have been totally destroyed and which the Louvre turned its back on, saying it was not worth saving. Like, these are Picassos. These are some of the most important artists of the 20th century.
Exactly right. And some people would say, well, she found these artists while they were starving and she gave them small amounts of money and took this art away. But she had the choice, and she did go into war zones and save the art from it. That's how important it was to her. And I think what's really important about the Peggy Guggenheim Museum and also this documentary is that you get the sense that every single piece of art is essential. Mm-hmm. Unlike when you go to an ordinary museum where you felt it was just bought for investment.
Well, Peggy Guggenheim Art Attic premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival last year and has recently been released in cinemas in the UK and most of Europe and is now happily available on DVD. We're going to end today's show with a new drama called The Benefactor. This sees Richard Gere take up the role of Franny, a wealthy philanthropist who spent years grappling with the death of two friends that he feels responsible for. The couple leave a daughter, Olivia, and as she becomes an adult, Franny begins to meddle with her marriage, offering donations. But does the money come at a price? Karen, this film has been criticised for having a rather messy storyline. Could you make sense of it?
No, not really. It's not very well made, I'm afraid, and you do have to stretch your mind around some of the plot points. But the basic premise is very interesting, and Richard Gere turns in a very interesting performance. Years ago, Richard Gere was in a movie by Mike Figgis. I think it was called Mr. Brown, where it was about a manic depressive, and the studio hated it so much that they wanted to take all the down bits out. So you just had him being euphoric.
This is his revenge.
This is his revenge, exactly. And actually, I asked Mike Figgis for that, and he said, yes, that's exactly right. This is about a man who has inadvertently killed his best friends and tries to make amends through the best friend's children, which becomes conflated with his own ideas of family. And also there's a homosexual undertone, homoerotic undertone, of course. But don't try and make sense of it. People are saying it's a lot like Foxcatcher, which also has that homoerotic undertone as well. It's interesting insofar as it is a small ensemble piece, but it's nice that these kind of films are made.
Well, let's hear a clip from the movie The Benefactor.
You know, I'm on a pretty tight leash.
I'm kind of holding that leash, aren't I?
You got all this money and you can just breeze in. You don't have to deal with any of the problems.
I just want to know what he wants from us.
Could you help me out? What's wrong with you?
You need to get help, Franny.
This should have been me.
You stay away from my family.
You think you can get between her and me?
Just because you give and give doesn't make you a part of anything. We don't need you.
You are jealous and you're weak.
You can't even take care of your family without me.
A little audio sampler from the film The Benefactor, directed by Andrew Renzi. Now, we've touched on Richard Gere as the starring role, famous for Pretty Woman. Do you think he's really desperate to get away from the pretty man roles?
I don't think he really can play those anymore. I think that kind of appearance has moved on. But he still is sexy. He's got a great following, and people know that he can act. And I think that we're still waiting for a sensational performance. I think he's still got one really good one in there. But I'm glad that he's continuing his career and to age into it. And I think it's very difficult to do that.
The director is a young director, a new director. This is, in fact, his first feature film.
Yes.
Do you think he's a talent to keep our eyes on?
Well, he's a writer and director, which means that sometimes a single vision gets in the way of things. He also produces. I think that the fact that he can interest actors like Dakota Fanning and Richard Gere in this kind of project means that he has some firepower. And I think the next film could be very good.
Well, The Benefactor came out in the USA, Singapore, and the Netherlands earlier this year and is out today in the United Kingdom. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, Karen Krasanovich. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. The show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. If this show has left you thirsty for more film talk, then be sure to check out our dedicated movie program, The Cinema Show, which goes out every Friday at 2000 hours London time. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.